Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. If you're just joining us, well, thanks so much for doing that. And if you've been with us since the start of the program, we really appreciate it that you are staying with us. So this is Faith in Action. It's a locally produced show that presents all kinds of different things that are going on in the diocese and different topics. For this show, I want to thank my guest, who is on for the first half hour, Julie Storr. She is coordinator of the Magnificat Ministry for Northwest Iowa, Mary, Undoer of Knots. Again, you can Google that and find out more about Our Lady's title under that moniker. And we talked about this event that's coming up, and hopefully you now have in front of you a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen or your smartphone, and you have written down that this Magnificat prayer retreat is going to take place Saturday, September 25th. It is at the Cathedral of the Epiphany in Sioux City. Registration starts at 8:30 in the morning. They've got the coffee, they got the donuts, and then the first talk will start at 9 o'clock. So again, it's at Cathedral of the Epiphany in Sioux City, and the day pretty much wraps up at 2 o'clock. So that gives you an idea about how long the day is. So I will repeat all of that again. And oh, by the way, how do you get tickets? Tickets are $35. That includes the coffee, donuts in the morning and lunch, and the speaker. So you can go to magnificat-iowa.com, and you can get tickets there. And as Julie said, their ministry is such as they turn no one away who walks in the front door. But listeners, as we all know, it's all about there's enough donuts and lunch for everybody. So if you're interested, please don't put it off. Go ahead and get your tickets. So on the phone with me, all the way from Illinois, is the keynote speaker for this day, Father Robert Browning. Ryan Browning. Oops, Ryan, right?
Yep, Ryan.
Okay, I got it. Father Ryan Browning. I looked down too quickly at my notes, which I couldn't read, even though I have my glasses on. Welcome to the show, Father Ryan Browning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to be anywhere, isn't it?
It is.
It is. So, Father Ryan, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a priest of the Rockford Diocese in northwestern Illinois. I'm actually currently at St. Thomas More Parish in Elgin, Illinois, and I've been a priest for 8 years, and I grew up Catholic, but I had fallen away from my faith for about 10 years outside of, after college and for a little bit, and then had a pretty significant reversion or conversion to my faith, and then ended up being drawn to the priesthood and studying for that as well. And so it's been a great experience, and I'm so happy to be a priest. So it's one of those great things.
Did you grow up in Rockford itself or another community in Illinois?
Actually, I grew up in southern Illinois, which is about 5.5 hours south of where I am now. And so it was in the Belleville Diocese, very small town, El Dorado, 4,500 people. So actually, I think my parish now that I'm pastor of has twice as many people as the town I grew up in.
So, okay. And yeah. Listeners, as most listeners know, and I have reminded them frequently, this show really is all about me. And we do have a connection. The Sioux City Diocese does have a connection with the Belleville Diocese. Bishop Joseph M. Miller was a priest of the Diocese of Sioux City when he was named bishop, or he was a priest of the Diocese of Belleville, Illinois, when he was named bishop of Sioux City. That would have been in the late 40s. And I know this because I spent my entire career practically in the field of Catholic journalism. So it's always interesting to hear small world stories like that, because you could have said, you know, I grew up in the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, or Chicago, Illinois. We have no connection with Springfield or Chicago, but we do with Belleville. So there we go, another small world story. Because I did Google you, I confess to that, because I wanted to know a little bit more about you, and I saw that you were a former golf professional.
Yes. Yeah. I played college golf at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, and then decided to playing golf, and it's pretty difficult. So I played some mini tours around, and then I ended up working at a private club and teaching golf for some years, and ended up in Florida as well at a club teaching and things down there. And I think that was kind of the place where really the lack of the practice of my faith came to a head, and I recognized there was something wrong. Like, I was unhappy, even though I was, you know, doing things that the world had told you would make you happy. And so I needed a change. And at that point, my parents and family had moved up to Batavia, Illinois, which is in the Rockford Diocese. And I thought, well, I'm going to move up there and be close to them. And there's a lot more opportunity up there than Southern Illinois. So there's no reason to go back to where I grew up. There's not much opportunity there. And I started working in the financial industry, which is what my degree was in. And then I also started going back to Mass, because when you're around Mom, and she says, I'll see you at Sunday Mass, and she'll see you at Sunday Mass. That's how it works.
Oh, that is a truth. I believe that's the 11th commandment.
It is. And so that was kind of how it began to happen, and through a talk on theology of the body, and through a miracle of God's grace, that I signed up for adoration once a week in the Perpetual Adoration Chapel, things really started to move quickly in my conversion. So I finally went back to confession after lots of years, probably 15, I think. I'm not exactly sure how long it was, but somewhere around there. And that was it. That was the watershed moment. Everything changed after that. I wanted to know about my faith. I began to go to daily Mass a few months later, and daily adoration when I was working, and really felt the call to the priesthood pretty quickly. I assumed that the Lord had been calling me for a long time, and I wasn't listening. And so when I started listening, it happened pretty quick.
And today, do you still golf?
I do play occasionally, probably a few times during the summer on my day off, and then I get invited to a lot of things to be in fundraisers and scrambles and things. They want me to play. So
are you still pretty good, like PGA level?
I'm still pretty good. I mean, my handicap is a 1.
Whoa!
Yeah, I still play pretty well, and
no wonder they invite you.
Yeah, they do. I think if I would have had the attitude that I have now when I was younger and probably a little better, and I practiced much more. I don't practice anymore. I probably would have done a lot better. I had more of a temper when I was younger playing, and now, you know, it's not the most important thing in the world to me. So you actually play better when you don't do that to yourself.
That's true. And I think your parish could probably have some sort of fundraising event, golfing with the pastor. And I should...
Yeah, I've thought about that.
Yeah, why not? And are you the pastor, or how?
I am.
Okay, yes. All right, very good. I didn't want to give you a raise or a new title in lieu of a raise. So, yep. Excellent. Tell me a little about what it is you're going to talk about when you come. It has something to do with prayer prescription, which I joked with Julie, and I said, so does that mean I don't have to go to Walgreens anymore to pick up my prescription? And so we had a laugh about that. But tell the listeners what it is you're going to talk about.
Yeah, so I had recognized I think it was my second assignment as an associate pastor, that I talked about prayer a lot and the importance of prayer, because I had experienced it in my own life. But then I began to realize that when I talked about it, people didn't really know what I was talking about. People know how to say prayers. They know their Catholic prayers. They know the rosary a lot of times. But they really don't know the deep, rich history of prayer that we have in the church, that the saints and doctors of the spiritual life give us. And it is so rich and beautiful, like I wanted to make that known. And so that's why I wrote a little booklet called Prayer Prescription. So much like you need your prescriptions and you need to see the doctor for bodily needs, this is more of the needs of the soul and how to continue to feed our soul and to strengthen it and to make sure it's healthy. And so that's why I put the prescription together of, like, here's how we kind of build a spiritual life and how to pray. And so I talk about the different ways to pray, of course, vocal prayer. But the real big one that I noticed was no one really knew about or they were uncomfortable trying because they didn't know what to do was mental prayer. And so Lectio Divina or some other version of it that the saints give us throughout history. But that is the place where we begin to really encounter the Lord and to grow in holiness and virtue. And so I wanted to make that known and how to do it and encourage people to do it as a way of growing in their faith.
I am curious because I think a lot of people have the idea that, oh, I've got a great idea and I'll share it verbally with my friends. But to take it to the next level of writing a book, how did that really come about? Because that's no easy task.
Yeah, it's very short. It's just a little booklet. It's like a really how-to. And so I sat down and I'm like, okay, what does everyone need to know? And so there's just a little bit of instruction in the beginning of it of what is prayer, and what is this prayer that I'm talking about, and why should I do it? So a little bit of writing about that. And then it goes into, like, how to develop a daily prayer habit. And what might that look like? And so I just shared some of the things that I do and that I have found powerful, and then some of the most important virtues that we need to focus on, such as in prayer, with your daily prayer, perseverance and fidelity are going to be two of the main things that we have to focus on, because we're going to have all kinds of obstacles to praying, because we have the difficulties of the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? So that, those things will kind of keep us from praying. And then also just in making it that commitment to it, and then the obstacles that arise, so how do I overcome some of those? And I think what I've found over the years is that of doing this, that people are, they really want it. They are hungry to know how to pray, and they just didn't know what to do exactly. And I kind of made a very practical little book on how to do it. And so my plan is to kind of share some of that, but also to share, like, what the Lord has in store for someone who is generous with their prayer and generous with their time with Him, because it's amazing.
Absolutely. And listeners, we want you to stay tuned because we have one more segment on our show, Faith in Action, and Father Ryan Browning is going to come back and he's going to talk a little bit more about that amazing aspect of prayer. But stay tuned.